Let's pray. Lord God, bless our message today. May you be with us and enlighten us. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So for the handful of times that I've preached here in our church, probably you have realized by now that the usual messages that I give are simple and practical. So how can we apply God's message to our daily lives and probably shake popular thinking based on what the Bible says. So today, just 3 points: changes for the new year, then obedience to the word, and God's faithfulness. So that's our topic for today. So, how is the new year? It's been just 1 month past the new year. So, any changes we made or desired for the new year, or is New Year's resolution still a thing today, or probably never mind? So I have something to share, which not a secret. So I have a problem with my weight. So, and I think I've shared this to you last time. I was 200 pounds already 2023, and this is an update 2024. I'm 198. Just 2 pounds. My wife said it's just water weight. So you drink water and it's equal already. So it's, as I said, it's not secret. It's what I've been struggling. So it's not for beach body. There's no intention of that. But it's about health and service. Health in the sense that I've been starting to complain. Pains, back, knees, and butt. So, and next one is service. So, obviously, if I get sick, I will not be able to serve my family and the Lord. So, both goes hand in hand, health and service. So, like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so we need to take care of it to continue serving the Lord. If we also probably seen in ads nowadays, it says there's saying "better me" or "a better man." We can change that a little bit to make it not too self-centered. To say "better me" for self, family, and the Lord, right? So, in relation also to, I think, our message last Sunday. So, not all the time that we focus ourselves, but also for people around us. So, it's not only like for health, but you can also think for more patience with the kids. You can also think of more obedience to parents. It could also be more books to read for the new year, more consistent quiet time, more consistent Sunday worship, and probably more time with our partners. And I've been target of this because I've been working day and night and less time with family and especially my wife. So don't want to be bossy or dictatorial, but anything, the point here is anything that will make us a better person will be very good. Not just for the new year, but every day we'll try to be better. Amen. Another changes that I want us to realize is our attendance as a church. How do you think our attendance as a church. It's been a while since the lifting of pandemic restriction, right? So how is it? Do you think we're back to pre-pandemic or better than pandemic? Mine as well. My assessment is like we're better than probably pandemic times. Amen? Amen. So that's good. The other one, I think better than attendance is engagement. Because as we can see, attendance has so many factors. We can be out, probably business or leisure. And with the way we are living right now here in our community, stress is very high. So I will not take that away from you if you go out and have a vacation, a break for your daily routine. We all need that. So the thing is, for engagement, even if we are out, we might be in community centers. Like I've heard last time, many of our members here volunteer in community centers, and that's good. Amen? We can also be in visitation, even we're out, or not in attendance during Sunday worship, but we're out doing visitation or, being engaged in the ministry, and that's still very good. So that's why the question is, what are we looking for to be engaged in the ministry of our church? We have our small groups that we can be a part of. We are also always looking for more volunteers in our youth group, our kids, or kids ministry, right? We can be involved in those ministries. But I would say only you alone knows better, know what is best for you. But just remember that your labor in the Lord will not be in vain. The second one is obedience to the word. One of the scripture lesson for us today is in Deuteronomy 18, chapter 18, verse 15 to 20. And in summary to this is, it says, God would raise up a prophet among our communities. The prophet, or the term prophet, does not refer to any specific person or prophet. It promises that God would not leave them without a prophetic voice. Okay? So it means to say that people will not have any excuses if they choose to believe the soothsayers rather than the voice of God. So God will always give us a guide. So one instance that happened two weeks ago, and I read this from the United States Catholic Bishops.org article written by Cindy Wooden. Although you can see this in many social media sites. Pope Francis was asked in an Italian television interview how he imagines hell, given his belief that God forgives everyone who asks. So the Pope answered, "It's difficult to imagine it. What I would say is not a dogma of faith, but a personal thought. I like to think hell is empty. I hope it is." And now, this statement of his has blown in the social media, many commenting in disagreement or stating, how about evil people in history? And so on and so forth. And Pope is a big personality that has a lot of following, even for us non-Roman Catholics. In respect to what Pope said, based on what he said, this is not a dogma of faith. Right? So, it was a good answer based on the question, because for me it felt like the question was a setup already. So he said, it is not a dogma of faith, just a personal thought, no? What he hopes and what he imagined. So anybody can do that, right? We are free to say that. But probably through the goodness of his heart, he would hope, or he does not want anyone to be in hell, right? We don't want to wish anybody to go to hell. If probably even your very annoying neighbor, you will not hope that he will go to hell. So my feeling was like, probably with his position and influence, he no longer has the freedom to dream, no longer has the freedom to hope, he doesn't have the freedom to light. So, but that's, that's in favor of what he said, based on the question that was formulated. So what does the Bible say about this topic? To mention a few, Matthew 7:13 to 14 says, "The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." It can work as a warning. It can work as a prophecy. If we are also honest enough to say, we can observe what is going on in the world today. I think we can say that it is what is going on. Unless probably we will be in a better position. No hungry people, no human trafficking, no prostitution, no wars, right? No abuses. Everybody will be happy and content. But sad to say, that's not what is reality. As a Christian, the only way hell will be empty is for Christ, the judge, to forgive everyone. John chapter 3, verse 35 to 36 says, "The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remain on them." Universalist believers question, how about other religions? There are many ways, obviously, to answer this. On my part, I would say that other religions have their own revelation from God of how to be saved, and we respect that. For a Christian, it is only through Christ our Lord. It is what is revealed to us, and therefore it is what we will follow. Number two, can we change the Bible to save everyone? The truth is, we don't have the authority to change the gospel. It says, even if an angel coming from heaven and preach a different gospel, the Bible says, let them be accursed, under God's curse. Galatians 1, verse 6 to 10. Therefore, who am I to declare and change anything just to soothe other people's feelings? That is why, or lastly, number three, the last is whatever Christ decides, as he is the judge, is his prerogative. So that is why it is always good to go back to the Bible to check it for ourselves. 2 Timothy 3:16. Culture changes. Our views changes. I may change my view probably tomorrow. You don't know? No? Norms changes, but the word proclaimed remains. So whether it is the Pope, our Methodist bishops, or even, or most of all probably, myself, you check it yourself through the authority of the Bible. That's how we were taught as young people before. If you can remember the Methodist quadrilateral, scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. So that's how we form our theology. Then lastly is our text in Psalms chapter 111, which I view as God is faithful. Psalms 111, chapter 111 up to chapters 118, as commentaries say, it's Hallelujah Psalms. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. The writer of these Psalms mentioned the great things that the Lord is doing and will be doing. It mentioned on how God provided His people through the wilderness in verse 5. It also mentioned how God is faithful in His covenant with His people, where in verse 9 it said, God provided redemption for His people. Redemption here shows how God rescued His people from Egypt and future return from their captivity in Babylon. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 8, it says, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath. He swore to your ancestors that He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So because God's great love, God redeemed them from slavery. Redeemed meant the recovery of something. No, recovery upon payment. Someone paid for us to be redeemed. With these historical facts, what does this got to do with me or us? So it's a little selfish, right? But that's how we think, how this applies to our lives. As what we believe, all people ever created were or are being held captive by sin until Jesus paid the price to free us. And that includes me or us. Amen? Giving His life as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Mark chapter 10 verse 45. Before Jesus did this, people were not allowed to be in the presence of God. So, in the most holy place, if people enter it, they will be they will not be able to hold the holiness of God because of our sinfulness. So now all believers can freely approach God's throne through our Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, and experience God's presence through the Holy Spirit. How about that for God's faithfulness? Amen? The result is that it is liberating to know that our final destination is secure in Christ. We can peacefully live our lives, enjoy the fruits of our labor, living life to the fullest, serving our community, and be secured with the redeeming work of Christ on the cross. With that in mind, we remember those who are in war-torn places, depressed areas, in crime-infested areas, that Christ's arm of peace and redeeming work may reach their respective places. To God be the glory. Amen.